today on Real Radio.
So what's awesome is not only is this prophetic to the people of Israel nearly 3,000 years ago, it's prophetic to us tonight, and it's going to be prophetic even for those that are in the millennial age. That's awesome. Isn't that great to think about? What you're holding open in your lap right now is a time capsule, as it were. It's a timepiece. It's pretty incredible. Don't you love the Bible? Absolutely awesome.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called The Remnant Will Return, Part 1, continues a series now called The God of Our Salvation, the Book of Isaiah. So glad you could be with us today. You know, the Book of Isaiah really does an amazing job of magnifying Jehovah God as the Holy One of Israel. It also points us towards the Messiah, Jesus Christ, as the one who will come to deliver us. But its final prophetic fulfillment has not yet come to pass, and that is how God will create a new heaven and a new earth, including a new Jerusalem. In Isaiah chapter 50, we learned the true value of asking a question. The Lord takes great delight in talking with us. He has the answer to our greatest concerns in life. But how can we know if the Holy Spirit's speaking to us? Well, we'll know it's the Lord when it's in perfect harmony with God's Word, the Bible, and it will lift up the Lord in our own spirit. So today on day 1 of chapter 51, Pastor Jack tells us that the word remnant means residue, or that which is left after a separation. Isaiah is using the word remnant when speaking of the Israelites who survive captivity and who will indeed return to their land as promised. And in the same way, God wants us to return to Him whenever we stray away. And now in his lesson called The Remnant Will Return, Part 1, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
And Lord, maybe other places in the world just see clouds go by. They don't even really stop to notice. But for us in parched Southern California, it's such a miracle. We thank you, God, for your goodness. We thank you for the wind and the green hills, how quickly they turn to velvet when you water them. And Lord, to think of all of these hints of your goodness will someday be fully realized for us who love you, who see you as you are, the great and awesome God who has done marvelous things. And in that respect, Lord, we live in a parched world. We can't wait. We thank you, Lord, that we're learning on Sundays in Peter that we're the pilgrims here. Thank you, Lord, this is not our home. Thank you, we're going home. Pilgrims are always heading home. We can't wait to get home, Father God. But until that time come, may our faith be increasing as we study your word. We ask it in Jesus' name, and all God's people said,
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Church, grab your Bibles tonight and turn to Isaiah chapter 51 tonight. Isaiah chapter 51 in our study. And faith tells me to say we'll get through the chapter. Education tells me we won't, but we'll do our best. We're looking at a message tonight that is entitled, The Remnant Will Return. And God is speaking through the prophet Isaiah about the remnant of his people Israel. And it's amazing, as you turn to this chapter, Isaiah chapter 51, Isaiah's prophesying about an event. It's remarkable. He's telling the nation about an event that is yet future for them. They could read about it. They could hear it. They haven't even yet been taken captive into Babylon yet. He's speaking to them about their Babylonian captivity. And he's telling them so far in advance that after they get out of that captivity, they're going to be coming back into their land. That, by the way, from the time of it leaving Isaiah's mouth, is going to be about 130 years. So they're going to be captured by the Babylonians. They're going to be taken captive because of their rebellion against God. They're going to do their time, as it were, in the Babylonian prison because of their disobedience to God. Then God will deliver them out of their Babylonian captivity, bring them back into their own land. But Isaiah 50, and we started this, by the way, back in chapter 49, 50, 51, from here on out, it will be laced and splashed with messianic Messiah verses. And you've been noticing those as we've been going. So I'm going to do my best to point out to you things that are the near fulfillment, that is, that those Jews coming back would experience. And then you'll clearly recognize when God is now speaking through Isaiah way on beyond the timeline, past our day, today, out beyond maybe some of our lifetime. In fact, there's areas of Isaiah 51 that you'll see tonight where God will be speaking regarding Israel, believing Israel, toward the end of the millennium. So what's awesome is not only is this prophetic to the people of Israel nearly 3,000 years ago, it's prophetic to us tonight, and it's going to be prophetic even for those that are in the millennial age. That's awesome. Isn't that great to think about? What you're holding open in your lap right now is a time capsule, as it were. It's a timepiece. It's pretty incredible. Don't you love the Bible? Absolutely awesome. It's just incredible. I just love it. So the remnant will return. By the way, before we get into this, Noah Webster, and I'm a big fan of Noah Webster's dictionary. I don't believe there's any other dictionary worth owning than the 1828 dictionary of Noah Webster's, created for the United States, for North America at the time, the colonies. And it's only about that thick. And you can buy it, by the way, on Amazon or eBay. You can buy it. But it's Noah Webster's Dictionary of the American Language, English, 1828. And Noah Webster defines the word remnant as this: the residue, that which is left after the separation, removal, or destruction of a part, the remnant that are left of the captivity found in Nehemiah chapter 1, verse 3. So says Noah Webster in his dictionary. Yeah. When you talk about remnant, you're talking about that which is remaining after almost everything has been devastated or made desolate, the remnant. I think it's an amazing testimony. God has always preserved his remnant. Church, listen, God has from the beginning preserved his remnant. He did that at the very start of his creation. There has always been, even if it's a handful, someone who believes and trusts in the Lord. There's always a witness. God has never left the land desolate of a witness. Even with Noah, Noah was a witness in the days when all had departed. Noah was that remnant. There's always been a remnant of the house of Israel that has believed. Always. There's always somebody. There's always been a remnant in the church. By the way, you and I are living now in the last 21 centuries of the church age. By the way, you know what? If we were ever going to change our name as a church, I think it would be an awesome name to be Remnant Christian Fellowship. I mean, you think about it. You say, well, how dare you think of that, that you guys would think you're the remnant. If we didn't think we were a believing remnant, we'd all quit right now and go do something else. Do you hear what I'm saying? Do you believe in the Bible? Do you believe in the whole Bible? Do you believe in nothing but the Bible? I do. And listen, I believe in God's word from Genesis to Revelation. There are those in the church today that don't believe that. I believe in the full counsel of God's word. I believe that there's a heaven. I believe that there's a hell. I believe that Jesus is the Son of God, God incarnate. I believe that there's a real devil. I believe in the Bible. And that makes me, and that makes you, if you agree, somewhat as a remnant in this day and age. So don't threaten me. We just could be Remnant Christian Fellowship someday, because I believe in hanging on to the word of God until the end. I'm going to listen. I say, not that I have any ability to do that. I believe God's power in my life. It's going to be God hanging on to me so that I hang on. Well, that's a rarity. Did you see that? A dollar just fell out of my Bible. I didn't even know I owned a dollar. Oscar, you get everything else around here. Do you want to? There you go. God bless you. That couldn't have been mine because I never carry cash. I live in a cashless society where I come from. But you think about being a remnant. And this shouldn't surprise us. In Revelation chapter 3, verse 7, there the Bible tells us that to the angel of the church at Philadelphia, if you've ever studied the seven letters to the seven churches, Jesus' last words to the church in the book of Revelation. Don't you want to be the church of Philadelphia? I do. That's my goal, is to be a Philadelphian believer in the last days. And by the way, the church of Philadelphia, that's an area of Gentile believers in that day. I'm not talking, you guys all know I'm not talking about Philadelphia, you know, Pennsylvania. I'm talking about Philadelphia and Asia Minor, that part of the Middle East. And the Bible there says, write these things, Jesus is speaking. It says, he who is holy, he who is true, he who has the key of David. I find that interesting. He's speaking to the church of Philadelphia, a bunch of Gentiles, and he says, I have the key of David. Why would they care? Because they know their Bibles. He who opens and no one shuts, and shuts and no one opens. I know your works. Behold, I have set before you an open door. I pastor this church based upon Jesus keeping that promise. Lord, set before us an open door. Amen? Amen. God has to open the doors. Don't you try to open doors. Listen, be careful in America, because you can throw enough power, enough education, enough money at something, and you can get the doors open. If you push hard enough, don't ever do that. You'll wind up getting something that you can't afford. You'll wind up getting involved in something you can't maintain. Watch out. Let God open the doors in your life, especially young Christians. Let God open the doors. He'll do that. He says in verse 8, Revelation 3, I know your works. Behold, I've set you before you an open door that no one can shut, for you have a little strength. And here it is. This is what makes them a remnant. You have kept my word and you have not denied my name. That's what your marching orders need to be until the end. Verse 9, indeed, I will make those who are of the synagogue of Satan, that's an interesting term, right? Who say they are Jews and are not. Kind of sounds like replacement theology, guys. They say they're the new Israel. No, they're not. But lie. Instead, I will make them come and worship before your feet and to know that I have loved you. There is always going to be a remnant. I believe that you and I are living at this time right now in what would be the Laodicean age of the church time frame, meaning the church and the world has departed from the word by and large, but God will always find that remnant. But let's keep going in Revelation 3 for a moment. Look at verse 10. Because you have kept my command to persevere, I also will keep you from the hour of trial, which will come upon the whole world to test those who dwell on it. Behold, I will come quickly. Hold fast to what you have, that no one may take your crown. He who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go out no more. And I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the new Jerusalem, which comes down from out of heaven from my God, and I will write on him my new name. Verse 13, he who has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. So the Lord knows those who are his. He knows the remnant that belongs to him. I think that's a very powerful thing. We're going to see that tonight in Isaiah chapter 51. As we get into this chapter, make note of this. We're looking at a time that when we talk about that is in or around the restoration, that is the remnant coming out of Babylon that is yet future. Listen, Isaiah's prophesying at about 720 BC, what we're looking at tonight. At about 538, as far as archaeology has shown us, Cyrus is going to issue the deportation, as it were, promises to the remnant to go back to Israel. And in that, you're going to recognize some of those guys. In that will be guys like Nehemiah, guys like Ezra in your Bibles. And it's quite amazing to realize, because if you want to read more about that, that's what those two books are all about. What we're looking at in Isaiah 51, background reading would be the books of Nehemiah and Ezra. They wound up living, this is fun, are you sitting down? They wound up living what they had been reading about in Babylon, and what it was that they were reading about was Isaiah, the prophet that you have tonight in your lap. I just love the ordination of all that. So let's look at it together, if you would. Chapter 51, the remnant will return. In verses 1 and 2, we see that it's going to be at the appointed time. God there, verse 1, listen to me, you who follow after righteousness, you who seek the Lord, look to the rock from which you were hewn and to the hole of the pit from which you were dug. So God makes the announcement. There's an appointed time. And when God begins to move in the life of the remnant, now when I say remnant, in the context of our study, we're talking Israel. But please, tonight, God's word is for all time. So for you and I tonight, you be thinking about yourself. I'm thinking about myself being a remnant, this church gathering, a remnant of believers. So what is God speaking? He's not only saying to the people of Israel, he's saying to us tonight, listen to me, God is saying, you who follow after righteousness, do you follow? Do you desire to follow after righteousness? He says to you who seek the Lord, do you want, do you desire, do you seek the Lord? He says, look to the rock. He's saying, look to the foundations, look to things that seemingly are nothing, even the pit. He's saying, at an appointed time, I'm at work. Now, what's interesting about this, when you begin to break it down, and I hope this matters to you, the qualifier, if you want to look at this as a student of the word, the qualifier is not that you're Jewish here in the text. Is it written to Israel? Yes, but not exclusively Israel. Isaiah's prophesying to Israel, but the promises of God to all are yes and amen in Christ Jesus, right, church? That's what the book of Colossians tells us. God's promises are for all who will approach him in belief. So watch this. The qualifier to being restored or being brought back is not that you're Jewish. It's not that you're Israel. The qualifier, note in your Bible, it's awesome, are those who what? Follow after or seek righteousness and the Lord. This is what God is announcing. So if you're a Bible student tonight in seminary, you would say Isaiah is speaking to the nation of Israel, and the qualifier is not that they're Jewish, because church, listen, God is not a respecter of persons tonight. God will accept any heart that will turn toward him. Notice, the word is you who follow after righteousness, you who seek the Lord. I hope that's your heart tonight. I hope that makes this church, as it were, qualified, because God looks down upon our predominant Gentile hearts tonight, and he has a smile on his face, and he says, I see your heart, you guys, tonight, gathered in this tent. You seek after righteousness. You are seeking after the Lord. You follow after the Lord. You're following after righteousness. That blesses the heart of God. The second qualifier is this. It's not that they're religious, but it is that they seek the Lord. So the qualifier is, first, number one, that you are following after righteousness. And the second qualifier is that you're seeking after the Lord. If that's in your heart tonight, no matter what your background may be, God is saying, I'm swinging wide the door open to you. You come on in. And God will restore. God will lead you. Look at verse 2. Look to Abraham, your father, and to Sarah, who bore you. Now, this is interesting. Many, not all, but many of the Jewish people had forgotten that, even in Isaiah's day, that the work of God in the calling of Abraham, by the way, what was Abraham's name before it was Abraham? Abram. Why was it Abram? Anybody know? Gentile. He was a Gentile. Now, you need to get some smelling salts out if we have any Jewish friends here tonight, because our Jewish friends love Abraham, and we Gentiles love Abraham. And the Jews will say, but Abraham's our father. Well, listen here. According to Isaiah, your prophet, and according to the New Testament, Isaiah is the one who introduces so much of the salvation message of God's word to the Gentile nations. We know from Isaiah that Gentiles also will be in heaven. Isn't that awesome? Somebody say amen. Amen. That is amazing, awesome news. And a lot of our Jewish friends go, really? Really? Where's that at? Well, throughout the book of Isaiah. Seriously. It's all over the book of Isaiah. And we've studied numerous passages earlier. But check this out. Before Abraham was ever Abraham, he was Abram, a Gentile. From where? From Ur of the Chaldees. He was from the region of Iran, Iraq today. And he was a pagan worshiping culture participant. And God called him out. God, listen, God in his grace engaged Abram and said, Abram, come out from this land. Follow me. And the Bible tells us, in fact, there's a commentary in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8, where it says that Abraham went out following God, not knowing where he was going. That's a huge thing. He was worshiping 360 different gods in paganism in the Chaldees, and God interrupts his paganism and says, come after me. Hey, listen, that should encourage you. Didn't God grab you and your paganism and get your attention? There's not a person within the hearing of my voice right now that if you've truly encountered God, he met you in your paganism. You say, I find that highly offensive. I was so moral. I was in this church. I was baptized when I was, 3 days old. I kept all the rules and I did all these things and then I decided, no, you didn't. Listen, you might have been completely moral, but you were lost in your morality. Moral people don't go to heaven. You've got to be born again to go to heaven. We were all lost. Nicodemus was lost. The great priest of Israel. And Jesus said, you've got to be born again to a Jew. And we all need Christ. And listen, God called us wherever we were at. Where were you? Think about it. Remember where you were? You may have been born and raised in a Christian home, but at some point God got your attention and you put real faith into Christ. But at some point in time, God got a hold of you. That's an awesome thing. And God called us out. God called Abram out and then renamed him later Abraham. God declared him righteous. Get a load of this. I love this. God called him righteous before Moses was ever born and gave the law. God called him righteous. How can you be righteous without the law? Because Abraham, when invited by God, sought God by getting up and following the Lord. And God declared, you're righteous. Is that amazing? That's awesome. How does a man come to a right standing with God tonight? The same way Abraham came to a right standing with God back then, thousands and thousands of years ago. It's by faith in God. Oh, that's liberating. Oh man, that ought to set you free.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called The Remnant Will Return, Part 1. Thank you for joining us today. You know, God is so faithful in fulfilling what he's promised so long ago in Isaiah. So don't wait to be a part of his return, but come to Jesus today. The Remnant Will Return, Part 1, is part of Pastor Jack's series called The God of Our Salvation, The Book of Isaiah, a series that brings to light the ministry of the Old Testament prophet Isaiah, who shared with us the coming of the Messiah, our Lord Jesus Christ, over 700 years before the day he was born. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. You know, sometimes we have to go back to the basics, especially when it comes to having a true relationship with Jesus Christ. What do we believe about prayer, about the Holy Spirit, the Bible, the church, and even our spiritual gifts? And what about our responsibilities in sharing our faith with others, or how much do we give? And are we truly walking in the ways of God? And what happens when we sin? Do we know without a doubt that we're a born-again believer and will spend eternity in heaven? You know, these are just some of the questions we need to stop and ask ourselves. And if you need any help with the answers at all, just head on over to our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org, and search for Real Life Basics. That way you can walk with a renewed spirit full of joy, knowing more about God and his faithfulness. Again, it's called Real Life Basics. And it's at our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. We also hope you'll pick up the Real Life app for your mobile device. And if you need to get a hold of us for any reason, you can call us at 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-777-2346. Or you can write to us at P.O. Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. And don't forget, we have other ways to connect with us, such as Facebook, Instagram, and the Real Life with Jack Hibbs app. Or you can visit our website at reallifewithjackhibbs.org and click right there on our contact tab. It's real easy, and we'd be happy to get back to you. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in his word. We'll see you next time here on Real Radio.